Chapter 2 Prisoners of the Japanese. Jerry Sams had already served as an enlisted man in two branches of the military, so being herded like cattle didn't bother him as much as it did some other prisoners. Determined to settle in, he got organized rapidly at Santo Tomas. Jerry had a true knack for scrounging. Quickly realizing that a mosquito net was a dire necessity, he lifted one from an unattended guard's room. It was a square-shaped frame about 2 feet wide, with netting stitched over it. He was the first prisoner in his crowded room to have protection from the hordes of mosquitoes that came out at night. That first night he slept soundly, but when he woke up in the morning, he turned and saw two sleeping men had also placed their heads under the netting. During the day, he collapsed the wire frame and hid it in case anyone came looking for it. A few days later, the camp commandant was driven through the gate in an older English sports car, which Jerry immediately recognized as the one he had bought shortly after arriving in Manila. The commandant went into his office while the driver and a soldier stood by. Jerry had been forced to abandon the car when he was picked up by the Japanese, but he had kept a set of keys and ran back to his room to get them. He walked to the car, unlocked the trunk, and began rifling through the compartment. Seeing him with the keys, the Japanese soldiers standing nearby apparently thought he had permission to go into the trunk. He removed his electronics textbooks, magazines, his briar pipe, a can of tobacco, and the camera he had taken on his travels about Luzon. Cameras were strictly forbidden in camp, but none of the soldiers watching said a word. He closed the trunk and strolled away, taking his belongings with him. On another day, Jerry was summoned to a room where a Japanese army officer waited behind a desk. He motioned Jerry to an empty chair across from him. The officer spoke in Japanese, which was then translated into English by a middle-aged Japanese civilian. The officer said Jerry's name had been found on a list of Navy electronics experts. They had located a partially destroyed radar site and wanted to salvage the equipment in order to build their own. They needed an expert's help and had apparently decided that Gerald Sams was their man. To this point, the session seemed like a job interview. But then Jerry asked innocently, "You mean radio?" After an exchange in Japanese, the translator said, "No, radar." Jerry was determined not to even acknowledge the existence of that top-secret word, let alone discuss anything about the technology. "I'm a radio man," he said. "Radio. That's the word in English." He managed to confuse the Japanese enough that the officer switched gears. All the radio stations in Manila had been destroyed during the bombing, and the Japanese now wanted to set up their own station right away, no doubt for propaganda purposes. Since Jerry was a radio expert, the officer said he could do that for them. He would receive a stipend and could live in his own apartment in Manila. That's when it dawned on Jerry that this was a job interview. "Look, I'll do menial tasks and dig ditches, but I cannot work for you professionally. I would be treated like a traitor when the Americans come back." The officer fired back in perfect English. "The Americans don't have an army," he yelled. "They don't have a navy. They are cowards. They won't fight. They will never come back." Jerry felt his blood boiling. He knew he should keep his mouth shut, but he couldn't help himself. "The thing I have to look forward to is them coming back and kicking the hell out of you guys. They'll do it, too." "You go. You go," the officer screamed. As Jerry got up and went out the door, he was struck from behind across his kidneys with a hose that felt as if it was filled with sand. He wobbled, but stayed on his feet and managed to stagger back to his room. Jerry was laid up with excruciating pain for days, and the camp doctor was concerned about damage to the kidneys or other internal organs. As Jerry slowly recovered, he realized he could have avoided the terrible blow if he had just kept his mouth shut. Once he was back on his feet, Jerry soon found his own comfortable furnished space, which he obtained without becoming beholden to the Japanese. while exploring.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?